when it uses imagery. The beast that he talks about in Revelation 13 is going to be able to give power. Well, he'll get power from the dragon. He'll be able to give power to what is called the false prophet. They're going to be able to do they're going to be able to do miracles. They're going to be able to do signs and wonders. And the book of Revelation is amazing because during this particular period where some of this stuff fits in, the people won't repent. It was like God going to pour down wrath, judgment in an exquisite fashion. And they say, and they still would not repent. Did I see your hand up? Mm-mm. Did anybody got anything? Because I don't know how to go through this without taking, like, I think when I went through Revelation the first time, it was a 6-week program. I did it in school. And I just don't think that to go through the book of Revelation and all of these books without having a background of what's going on, you do it the justice that should be done. But I do believe that we can get a grasp that some of this stuff that we've seen has already taken place. You can see why other people just deal with the future part, and it's not all wrong. That's the only part that I want us to be able to see. Mm-hmm. And it says,
I do have a question. What's the precedent in Scripture that the futurists point to make them feel that they wouldn't go through it? I mean,
oh, they have a lot of them. Let's enumerate.
Okay.
Before the flood in Noah's day, they like to say that before the flood in Noah's day, they were caught up on the water in the ark. That God took them and everybody else was judged, and God took them and he preserved them. That's one that they used. Let's see, what's another one that they use? They use Enoch.
Yeah.
They say Enoch was caught up and say that was a type of a rapture, Enoch being taken up into heaven. They can find them, you know, anywhere they want, that they want to, like that. But the issue is to say that the flood was a rapture. Well, first of all, unless the ocean is not part of the earth, unless the seas are not part of the earth, they were still on the earth. When I was doing geography, they did not separate the land from the water. Say the water is not part of the world or what is called the earth. It is. We do call the dry part differently. But if you took out all the water, there'll be earth up under it. Unlike some of the people that teach evolution, say that Pangea and all the earth and thing, they were locked together. What do you think is up under the water? Nothing. You think nothing is up under the water? You think water is all the way through to the other end of the earth? No. So what ends up happening is that they use those kind of things, they use them as illustrations, and they say that that's how it happened. But I submit to you that God executed his judgment, and the people in the ark, they were right there, and God preserved them. To me, that would show me more. God don't have to take me out from anywhere when he does this thing, that he knows how to preserve me in the storm, that he knows how to preserve me when his wrath is going on, and let me be able to see what he's done and then be able to come out and show his glory and not be stupid to go and do what they did. It's just like some of Noah's children did. By the time you get to Genesis chapter 11, you got his sons already acting up. Nimrod,
we gonna build us a tower to the sky, man. God say scatter, but we ain't gonna be scattered out there and be lost. What we gonna do? We gonna build a little tower to the sky, and I'm gonna be in charge. And don't try me, cause I'll kill you.
And you start reading history and start reading about Nimrod, you find out he was no joke. Yeah. But God say scatter, they say no, we won't. Tell us what to do. Forgot what happened at the flood that quickly. Now, Jesus says here, if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Let me tell you how ripe it is. It's so ripe right now for people to turn their back on God. If these television preachers could deliver what they sell, I don't think you would hardly find anybody that would believe in the Bible. If every time they say they could heal, a person would be healed. If every time they say you send them some money, your runaway child would come home. If every time that man laid his hand on you, you got your grade you want in school. If every time he blow his breath on you, you could get the job you wanted. Who would believe in God? Well, Jesus says they're going to start showing great signs and wonders. And he says it would be possible it would deceive the elect. I submit to you that what I believe, based on what it's saying here, what I saw in the book of Exodus, and what I've read in the book of the Revelation, that it's going to be similar to that time when God allowed Moses to be able to do a lot of work and to be able to do a lot of miracles. And then Jannes and Jambres, you'll read about them in 2 Timothy chapter 3, they withstood Moses. The miracles that Moses did, they were able to do. And no doubt there were some people that because they were able to do miracles too, they didn't believe Moses. I submit to you that the same kind of miracles, if you look closely, they're just like the same kind of miracles that happened during the time in the Exodus. And what I believe is going to happen during that particular time, people are going to be following the miracles instead of the word of God, and they're going to be deceived. And God's judgment and his wrath is going to come down swiftly because we've had so many years with God's word, and we have just let it stay on the back burner. And so he says it would deceive sometimes the very elect. You mean to tell me Gary say he loved God and Gary feel like he walking with God and just got through teaching a lesson and find out Naomi got cancer and she in pain and writhing and this guy over here, he's a Satanist or he's whatever, he don't believe in the God of Scripture, but this man has real miracles and people are really being healed. You don't think it would tempt him to go over there and get his baby healed? You think it wouldn't tempt me to, I wouldn't think about my wife over there in pain, making that sound when they have emphysema? It's bad. When you hear that emphysema, or you hear some of the howling that I've heard of people hearing, when soldiers have been shot up with shrapnel, what's it called? Is it called shrapnel? In the army? And here somebody can heal? You don't think that some people would turn? That's what he brought to Job, wasn't it? What did Satan tell God about Job? Skin for skin. A man would give all that he has for his life. Didn't he say it? You think Satan knew that back then and don't know it now? He knows where to hit us. But he said if it were possible, they could deceive the very elect. Now, let me tell you why it won't be possible. For those that hold on, it won't be possible. For those that don't hold on, it will be possible. But it says, behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. He is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. You're going to have people coming and saying again that they are Christ. Because why? They got miracles and people are following. And we got to understand this is Satan's last major attempt. Well, next is his last major attempt to have people to honor him as God. And those that follow him will do the same thing. Tim, where do you get that from? I've read ahead of you all. Those that haven't read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Satan is able to change himself to an angel of light. And his ministers can do the same thing. In other words, to deceive. That's what it's all about. But then it says, believe it not. Don't believe that. Don't believe that I have come back unless I've come back like I said. Don't believe that I've come back or that this person is a Messiah if they've got a word that's different than mine. Okay? Because if you do believe it, you're going to be deceived. And you're going to be caught up with the wrong group or the wrong crowd. He says, wherefore, I read that. Verse 27 says, as the lightness coming from the east and shining to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. This is what they say is the second coming, not the rapture. Those in the futurist camp. And then it says, get my verses up. For wherever the carcasses is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. So they take that to say wherever the slain bodies are, wherever you see all of this death and degradation to go on, then it's just letting you know that this particular time, this is where the eagles are. This is where the consummation of all that flesh would be. That's all that I have on it from a futurist side. Anybody that need to stop me as I move on? It says immediately, listen, immediately after the tribulation. Immediately after the tribulation. This is taught that this is after the tribulation. Immediately after the tribulation, this is after the great tribulation. Of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall down from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the man come in the clouds of heaven with great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. So if you can see that it says, right then, here he comes. Here comes the sign. But now they've already had a rapture. They've already taught that they're already up in heaven. So this scripture would have to be, according to the futurist, is where the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints, talked about in Jude. This has to be where they talk about where the Lord will descend with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and he's coming with his saints to be glorified in his saints. So therefore, this will be considered the second coming. The other one was a secret coming. The rapture is a secret coming. This one is saying, how else can it be explained if every eye is going to see him and it's coming? And the scriptures do say the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints. So it's like, how did they get to be with him anyway? That was what they call the judgment seat of Christ. So now, from the futurist camp, here comes the parable of the fig tree. The parable of the fig tree is that Israel is considered to be the fig tree. And so when you see Israel start to bud, when you see Israel come into the nation, they would say that this means that this is the generation of those that see these things happen. So listen to what it says. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branches yet tender and putteth forth his leaves, you know that summer is nigh. Summertime. People get happy. Time to get out of school. So likewise, when you see all these things, you know that it is near. Even at your doors, you know that the end is there. You know that the end is coming. It's even at your doors. And it says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. So what they're saying is this generation. They take this to say that this generation that see Israel become a nation, it won't pass away till it's all fulfilled. They say Israel became a nation again in 1948. Theodore Herzl and the different ones, the Zionist movement, they went back to Israel. They were able to sit up there. And they were able to, I think it was, wasn't it Britain and the UN gave them that piece of land, took it from some people. And some of the Palestinians, some of those happened to be Christian at that particular time. And they took that land and they gave it to Israel. And they said that it would be within 40 years. I'll be able to bring some prophecies where people said the end of the world was going to be around 1988. Well, when it didn't come in 1988, they went and recalculated. And when they went and recalculated, they went from 1967, where they had a war with Egypt. And then they recalculated from that and then said it would be about 7 years later after that. Well, maybe like 20-something years later after that. The point being is that the futurists say that the generation that see Israel as the fig leaf coming to a nation will see this happen. That's not what the passage said when we read it in Luke. But this is what is taught. This is why you had a lot of people saying that the end of the world was coming when Y2K came and close to 2000. I mean, that was a big money maker for people that were selling end time prophecies. Verse 35, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The most important thing about this is that no matter when it takes place, no matter what happens, if you're in God's word, you don't have to worry about things going where you're going to be left behind or not caught up with everybody, or somebody can take your life. The most they can do is take your life. That's it. They can't separate you from God. You have to do that yourself. You separate yourself from God by being wicked and being like everybody else and act as if God does not matter. So then it says, but of that day and hour no man knoweth, no, not the angels, but my Father which is in heaven. This is where they teach the imminency. The imminency started around verse 3. Imminency, that's a big old 50-cent word. What that 50 cent word mean at any time? Anytime that Jesus can come back, no signs have to be fulfilled. Everything is ready right now, Jan.
It's right, Paul. Everything's ready. Jesus could come today.
Understand this. If he wanted to come and nothing was done, he could come. He runs stuff, okay? Understand, when you run a world, you can do it like you want to. But here are some things that he said that would take place. But from the futurist point of view, due to the fact that they separate the tribulation from the rapture, there are no signs that have to take place and that he could come and take us today. But there are some in the futurist camp that say that it at least has to be in the middle of the tribulation. So if the tribulation hadn't started first, then it's not yet. And there has not been a man to set up a world ruler that have made peace with Israel. They have made a 7-year agreement. So therefore, they're still waiting for that to happen, some on the futurist camp. But it says, but as the days of Noah was, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, they said the flood came one day and nobody had a clue and nobody knew. But is that true? Didn't God tell Noah, I'm tired of man? Can I just say it in English? I'm tired of man in this mess. He has tried me too long. He's played with me. And I'm not the one to be played with. I'm not getting my respect from him. 120 years, that's it. That's all I'm going to give, 120 years. Now, the Bible says that, you know, that God said at the end of it, all flesh is at hand. Man was wicked. They said his days will be 120 years because my spirit not going to keep striving with him. So when it says that the day of Noah was, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days of Noah, before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Those people, when he entered in the ark, saw it coming. But not only that, Noah had a clue. They had a clue in the general vicinity when it was coming. They had a clue in the general vicinity. But they were still doing all the things that they wanted to do. It was just that fun. People will still be partying when the Lord comes back. They're going to still be getting pregnant. They're going to still be homosexual. They're going to still be fighting. They're going to still be shooting. They're going to still be lying. Preachers still going to be lying. They're going to still be probably grown men hitting the ball across the field, making more money than people that, you know, do stuff that's real important. Man that can carry a ball like this and run real fast and not get tackled will still probably be making more money than the man that can take your brain and cut it open and take a tumor out and sew you back together. That's just the way it's going to be. It says they're going to be doing what they do till the end of the earth. In other words, ain't going to be no big thing change. They're going to think it's going to be the way it always was. But the backdrop, Jesus said, is that's the way they felt then. And the flood came and destroyed the world. And it was not a local flood. It was a worldwide flood. A local flood don't scare me. If I hear it go flood out game, I'm going to get my mama and my daddy. We go to Stone Mountain. You all find somewhere to go. The game is going to be underwater, right? Even people in Louisiana knew to do that. Well, some of them. I can't say how the barge broke because I don't, you know, I can't say that, you know, those things that people say that was bombs that they heard going off and the explosions. I can't say it really was, but, you know, it did conveniently, things happen and change the topography and the ownership of a lot of things in Louisiana. But I'm just saying that things happened then, and the whole topography of the world was destroyed. That's why Jesus is using it. He's not using it like a flood in Rwanda or a flood in Louisiana, and as it was in the days of Louisiana before the levee broke, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Come on now, please. Why would they need an ark? Somebody help Tim. Why would they need an ark and put the animals in if it's a local flood? Why not just go to Egypt? Why not just go to Mesopotamia? Why not just go up to Syria? Why not go to the Caucasoid Mountains? Why you gotta have a boat 150 yards long? A cruise ship. Think. You know, sometimes But anyway, it says, and they knew not until the flood and came and took them all away. God cleaned the earth off. God gave man another chance, and that's what he's going to do this time. Man's going to have a different realm and a different way with God, and it will be another, I don't think it's another chance to be saved, but another chance to have what God wanted them to have. Face down. And it says, and that's the way it's going to be when the Son of Man comes. It says, then shall two be in the field, one taking the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, one taking the other left. And watch therefore, ye know not the hour that your Lord come. Now, I find in the futurist camp, sometimes they get this and they go back and say that'll be in the rapture. But they, some of them already say the rapture's already taking place. But they'll be doing this and one will be left behind working by themselves. But that also could be taken in from the futuristic camp, whereas that during this particular time, one taken and one left the separation. One's righteous and one is not. And it says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord come. Therefore, it says, but this know, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken into. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour you think not the Son of Man cometh. In the futurist camp, they say that means Jesus could come in any minute. Rest assured, I believe he can do that, but I don't think that he is. There are other things that have not taken place in the scripture. There's another thing is that he's telling people to be ready. They de-emphasize telling people to be ready. That the emphasis is to be ready, to watch. If you know people out there stealing and you in your house and you got your peace, that means you watching. You don't know when he's coming, but he'll hit everybody else's house but yours. Why you don't think he gonna hit yours? He know what they got. It's your house that he need to get some stuff from to make his day. It says, whoa. No, I'm sorry. I read that incorrectly. Who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler of his household to give meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord cometh so shall find doing. I don't know how to explain that, because most of the time the people that teach futurism, they don't even say that you have to do any kind of work. The best that I can remember that they've taught, because I learned their view first. Second, I learned it third, or probably about the 15th time I learned theirs before I really started seeing some other sides of the spectrum. But what they talk about is being faithful to the rapture so that you can get more rewards. Blessed is he that whom his Lord come and so fine doing. Verily he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Remember the bema seat. Remember the judgment seat of Christ. That your rewards will be more than the person that did not do those things. And it says, but if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and begin to smite his fellow servants, to eat and to drink, to eat and to drink with the drunken. Notice, I just like you all to notice, the Bible call people drunks. We call them alcoholics. We say they're sick. They're not sick. They're drunk. The Bible say they're drunk. You get some people around in the early 1900s, and they start making, and then you get some people following Sigmund Freud, and they start making these terms and calling things disease. It's not a disease. Nobody make you drink your first beer. Nobody make you smoke your first joint. If they do, they're wrong for that. Most people do it because they want to fit in. And you start liking it, and you start liking being drunk, and your body get dependent on it, you are drunk. You might call it a disease, but you are drunk. You are giving yourself over there. A fat stomach don't mean you're a disease. That means you eat too much and you like it. Don't want to exercise. Now, sometimes you might have a medication that makes you fat. That's different. But most people, they can't tell me it's medication. I've grown 2 or 3 stomachs in my life. I know what it takes to grow them, and I know what it takes to get rid of them. Call it a disease, and not a disease, it's a lack of discipline. You call a man a drunk. He let him go out there and kill your mama, somebody you love, or tear up your new car when he drunk. It's a disease, so you don't do nothing to him. Why do you want him locked up? But man got a bad eye, that's a disease. Man got heart trouble, that's a disease. Man can't hear, those are the kind of things that when something wrong with somebody, you can have pity. But he drunk, get going to tear up your new car. He just drunk, going to hit you and lame you for life and no insurance. And he going to go to court and say, well, you know, I've been had this disease, Your Honor. I've been had this disease for about 20 years, and I just can't help myself. I just get behind the car, and I just fall asleep. Who's going to accept that as a disease? It's only a disease whenever people being politically correct. The Bible call him a drunk. I call him a drunk. Do something like the old folks used to tell the girl, better see about yourself. Get yourself straightened up. Stop being a drunk. Tighten up. Go through the pain of what they call it, DTs? Go through the pain. Go through the pain, because rest assured, if you were drunk, people go through the pain putting up with you. And then it says in the next verse, and begin to smite his, it says, and if he get drunk and say, my Lord, delay his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunken. Notice, you're not just doing it, you with him. And says, and the Lord of that servant shall come in that day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and cut him asunder. I like the way the Bible say, cut him asunder. I like that. I don't know why, but I like it. And appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And they like to take that part on the future side, that the final judgment would come. And those that did not do what God said, and those that are not saved, they'll be cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. So if you look at the future side left to me, I know I didn't give them 100% justice. It's not necessary. Go to Google. Type in rapture. Go to Google. Type in pre-trib. You get a lot of information on it. Way more than anything else. But the point that I wanted to make us see is this is the prevailing side, is it not? Yes, sir. How many times have we seen anybody go through and show that some of this stuff is fulfilled? Now, the part where I come down is that I believe that what is called the church, let me say the neighborhood, the church, is going to go through the tribulation. I believe that the Lord is not.